just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, I heard a word on the street.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
No. That's too long of a word to be on the street.
Yeah, it's really something quite atrocious.
Oh my goodness. You are not doing this to me. Not today. No, I heard that you like riddles.
I do like riddles.
Oh, so the word on the street was right.
Birds.
We are not, contrary to popular belief, doing a podcast on Mary Poppins right now. Here's my riddle for you, Steve. Who put the glad in Gladiator?
Hercules.
Yes. It's the first of the month. First podcast of the month, which means it's a patch cast.
We're talking all about our monthly patch.
We are. And this month, I went for what some almost consider an obscure Disney movie.
How fitting.
Right? Mm. Because Hercules was not overly successful as a Disney film. And so a lot of people probably haven't seen it or have forgotten that they've seen it, present company included.
Me, not you.
No, yeah, I remember it because I actually really enjoyed the Hercules. But unfortunately, not everybody shares my opinion of the film. Uh-uh.
And we get Hades from there, right?
We do. The character Hades, who is the god of the underworld, which is very interesting, just to jump right into it. In Hercules, Hades is portrayed as evil. He's the antagonist.
Yeah.
He's been portrayed as such in most films, actually. When people think of Hades, they think, oh, he's a bad guy.
Right.
But in general, in Greek history, Hades is not a bad guy. He's actually very amiable and easygoing. So I think it's just, I'm going to say America's obsession with the idea that Hades is the devil, and so therefore Hades must be bad.
Right.
That makes us portray him as the villain all the time.
I would agree. Hades and Google, you're both the devil.
Oh, wow. You can't just say kidding. That too loud. Google's going to shut us down.
I know. Just kidding. I love you, Google.
But Hercules came out in 1997, which was a little bit after the Disney Renaissance.
Near the end of it when they were just starting to shell out stuff.
Actually, it was after the Disney Renaissance because it came out immediately after Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's
neither
about right.
Of which were part of the Disney Renaissance. While some people really liked it, they aren't considered masterpieces like the ones that came before it.
No, but they thought they were at the time, right?
Well, yeah, Disney was flying high during their Renaissance. They had hit after hit that made them money and money and money and then more money.
Right.
So they were pretty full of themselves, thinking that, okay, this, we're killing it. We're going to continue to do this because obviously it's working.
Right. They would think that.
And so the directors of The Little Mermaid, the directors of Aladdin, the same people, it's a duo team. They directed those two, and finally, they were requested to make Hercules.
Hercules.
And basically, the deal on the table was, you make Hercules, and if it's successful enough, we will let you make the movie that you actually want to make. And they were really pushing to make Treasure Planet, which I don't think you've seen.
Okay.
We've talked about it, because we've watched enough iterations of Treasure Island that you know what it's about, but we'll get to that at some point, I'm sure. So they did Hercules in hopes of getting to Treasure Planet.
I see.
And if we've learned anything, I think it's that when artists are required to do something, it grinds their gears a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And while they may put all their effort into it, if your heart's not in it, it doesn't really have the same spark.
Completely right. Yeah. What good is effort without heart?
You got to have heart.
Yeah, right. I don't know anything about Disney.
Yeah. So, like I said, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame had just come out, and people were really critical of it, those two films, saying that they were too dark, that they tackled subjects that were too mature for the younger audiences that people assume Disney movies are for.
Yeah, I just didn't think they were just fun. They weren't fun.
They definitely weren't fun. Good. No, definitely not. When you hear they're doing Hunchback of Notre Dame, you think, that's not really a kid's book. it's barely an adult's book these days. I don't know many people that have read Hunchback, but overall, they had gone really dark. So I think their goal with Hercules was to make it lighter, more pop culture, more genie from Aladdin.
Yeah.
More that.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they wanted to do something that was kind of superhero meets professional athlete, and that's exactly what Hercules kind of is.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Right?
From what I remember. We watched it just a matter of days ago.
Yeah, and you've already forgotten it all.
By days, I mean like 4 months.
Well, and the thing about, you'd be forgiven, because the thing about Hercules, Disney's Hercules, is that in true Hollywood form, they kind of mix things up to make the story work better for them. They omit things, they add things, they change things, just to make the story work better cinematically. So there's a lot of big gaps between the legend of, I don't even know if you can say actual Hercules, but the well-known character of Hercules versus what Disney did.
Yeah, because I totally thought we were watching a documentary.
Oh, did you? Yeah. It was that realistic.
Yeah.
You got jokes. He's coming in here with the jokes. So I personally find it extremely entertaining. They have James Woods playing Hades.
Yeah.
Who is hilarious the whole time.
He really is.
He's cracking jokes. Is this a party or mosaic? Yeah. Right. He's very funny the whole time. Which,
isn't he at the villains party or the Oogie Boogie Bash or whatever it was this year? Wasn't that character in there?
I believe he's on a float. I don't think he has a meet and greet. Because usually, I mean, Hades isn't that popular of a character, but of all the imagery I've seen of Hades in park, he's really, really tall, so he can't really interact.
Oh yeah, that'd be a problem.
So I think Hades, they have him being like 7 to 8 feet tall, and then the performer just kind of operates hands more than anything, which would make him a hard meet and greet character. Not impossible, but there are more popular characters, I think, that people are
excited to meet. And they're not willing to spend the money.
Mm. Right.
So, it's not Groot.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is funny about Hercules is that they don't even say his name right.
Oh, really?
In the Greek mythology, his name isn't pronounced Hercules.
Huh.
It's pronounced Heracles.
Oh.
Which I might be butchering that too, but it's just a little bit different. They actually use the Roman pronunciation of Hercules because that's the one people most know him by.
Yeah.
And that whole Greek Roman thing always confuses me anyway. So it's just funny that they just decided, you know what, we're not even going to go with the proper pronunciation of the Greek.
Nobody will know anyway.
Stick with Hercules.
Uh-huh.
And another funny thing is that he's related to a Disney princess. Did you know this?
How did that happen?
Well, in Greek mythology, Zeus and Poseidon are brothers.
Okay.
And so Poseidon's daughter, Ariel,
is
first cousins with Hercules.
Well, isn't that something?
It's a small world after all.
It's a small world after all. Zazu, no.
Anything but that. So the Disney version of Hercules basically starts with the birth of Hercules to Zeus and Hera, which everyone...
And he was the cutest little baby.
He was super cute.
Yeah.
And he gets
breaking stuff.
A pet Pegasus as his birthday present.
Apparently. I wanted one.
And this does not make Hades happy because he was trying to basically take over Olympus and rule the whole pantheon of gods. And the three fates tell him that, you know, in 18 years, it's all going to be ready. But if Hercules ends up fighting in that battle, Hades is going to lose, which does not vibe well with Hades.
Yeah.
So he kidnaps Hercules and turns him mortal by use of magic potion, which is one of the major plot weirdness things. Like, why would he have that? Why doesn't he use it on Zeus?
Yeah.
And so he sends his little toadies, Pain and Panic, to go and kill Hercules, basically, so that he's not around. And of course they mess up. He doesn't drink the last drop of potion, and so he remains super strong.
You have to drink the entire thing to its very last drop.
You have to drink every bit of it.
Mm.
So that explains why I am so awesome. I did not drink that last drop. I'm so strong.
I think I was told this as a kid. If you want to be, you have to drink every last drop.
You have to eat all of your broccoli.
Right? If you want to be strong like Hercules.
Yeah, I remember that lie. They're like, eat your carrots and your eyesight will get better. Mm. Lies. Here I am sitting in here in my glasses.
I know that one firsthand. Looking at you, fortune cookies.
Yeah. So he lives his whole life basically as this superhuman strong person among mortal people, and eventually finds out that he's actually the son of Zeus.
Didn't he break stuff all the time too?
Yeah, that was kind of the thing is he had superpowers, but he was super clumsy.
Right.
So he was breaking things all the time. And finds out that he's a son of Zeus, and in order to become a god again, he has to prove himself a true hero. And that's the whole conceit of the show, is basically him doing all of the things that he does during his life to try to be worthy to be a god, is the concept. While Hades is trying to kill him continually anyway, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, he obviously has some sort of god power in him, so there has to be something not clicking, right? Like, if someone is considered a god, you can't just, like, squish them with a monster. It doesn't feel like that's going to work.
Right, the math on it's a little bit wrong.
Right.
But by the way, this is the reason I don't actually hold children, is because much like Hercules, always clumsy and breaking things, I feel the same way around kids. Like, I just,
you're afraid you're gonna
break
them?
The kid.
Oh.
like mathematically, my arm is the size twice as big as that baby is, so you know, like, it just doesn't feel like it should work.
You would be a really awkward guest then.
Yeah.
If you dropped
Broke the baby. Like, Hercules, no. I wish they
you
would
broke
call
the
me
baby.
Hercules. Yeah, that's. But I sympathize.
I'm okay. Well, Hades does find out a weakness of Hercules, though. His
babies?
Achilles heel. No, it's not babies. It turns out to be Meg, the girl. Of course, they're all bad news. I'm with Phil.
Shut up, Meg. Wrong show.
Okay. And, you know, tricks and treats and all sorts of things ensue. And of course, the good guys win.
Yeah.
Hercules ends up winning, regaining his godlike status. But then he gives it up because, of course, he's in love with Meg.
Now, remind me what happens about his Tenon? What is it called?
What's his
weakness?
Oh, is Achilles' heel?
That's it.
That's a completely different character.
I see. Okay.
Just so you know, Achilles was a person that they said was dipped in the river Styx, and his mom held onto his ankle while she dipped him. So the only place that he wasn't invulnerable was his tendon on the back of his foot.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's meant as the one place you can be taken down. So Hercules is... I don't know how you pluralize that. Hercules possessive. Anyway, his weak spot, his Achilles heel, Meg, because he falls in love with Meg.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And so,
thank you very much.
There you go.
Confused during that explanation.
A little bit of Greek history for you there. Hades basically makes Hercules give up all of his strength for the next 24 hours so that he can take over Mount Olympus.
Oh, dang.
And the only caveat is that Meg can't get hurt during that time period, which of course she does. And so Hercules gets to get his power back and fight during the battle or whatever.
That's when, yeah.
Yeah. So the...
There's that.
So the whole concept of Hercules in general, that, like I said, what they were going for was like a Superman meets a... like a pro athlete type of setup. So there's lots of modern in jokes.
Yeah.
And references. Hercules has shoes and action figures, gets appearance fees and royalties, and like basically becomes what we would understand as a modern day celebrity, basically, right, during the course of the movie.
Again, I relate.
Just can you relate to that? Because you're an athlete, you're a pro athlete.
And a celebrity.
And a superhero.
All of these things.
And I think that that's what probably messed with the tone a bit. It wasn't quite over the top enough, but not quite serious enough for people to really catch hold of the tone of Hercules in general. Personally, I think the yo-yoing back and forth between the ridiculous and the serious, it doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people were like, well, this thing just doesn't know what it's trying to say.
Right.
Because, you know, during the battle, Pegasus blows out Hades' hair.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he goes, oh, is my hair out? You know, or whatever. Tongue-in-cheek joke. And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, Meg's dying.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a real...
Yeah.
It's a real hard sell on where your emotions are supposed to be during the movie.
Yeah, that is a weird timing issue. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I personally, I'm fine with it. I love the jumping back and forth. I think the in-jokes are hilarious. But I think in general, in 1997, when the movie came out, the general reaction was more along the lines of, meh, you know, Meg. and it just didn't work out quite as well. Now, I think it's gained popularity, like a lot of things from our childhood period.
Yeah.
We those of us that grew up around that time period actually liked the movie. And so now that we're adults, we get to tell Disney, no, we liked that movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I just remember being just so busy during those three movies. Like, I had like three jobs at the time. And, you know, I was like, it was like...
Oh my goodness, you were too adult for the Disney movies, huh?
And now I have plenty of time to go back and watch all my Disney movies. And it's so much more accessible now.
As an adult, you have just endless amounts of time.
cartoons. But the potion bottle, that was really a cool part of the story that we liked.
Well, it's funny because this was, again, something that I'd planned on. I had been thinking about for a long time. I had talked about it with another fan of Hercules, and they said it might be funny to do like a baby formula company based on it. And I couldn't quite get that to work. The tone, again, was weird. To have something with skulls all over it as a baby formula was a little off.
Right.
And I didn't think would read very well.
A little too skinny and sweet for you.
A little too skinny and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks just like the rat poison, except for the little skull and crossbones. But I really liked the image of the bottle. And anyone that's seen the movie knows what I'm talking about. When Hades is holding the bottle and it's a close up and he says the word mortal. And the top is a skull and there's little bubbles in it with skulls in it. And I was like, that's a cool image.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can recreate in such a way that it's not just a dark black outline. I got to have fun with some fuchsia and pink colors.
Oh, yeah.
And some purples, so that it wasn't so blocky and serious. And so I went into it with the idea of making it more like a neon sign than anything else.
That is a pretty cool neon sign.
It is, right? And then, of course, you have to throw the blue flames in there because that's Hades' hair. His hair
iconic,
is
really.
Blue flames. And then I kind of started leaning towards making it into almost like a cologne or like a drink of some kind, because it almost feels like the name of a cologne, doesn't it? Can't you just hear some really deep, breathy right. voice being like, "Mortal by Hades," you know? And oh, so I kind funny. Of leaned that way on it.
If they start selling this at the Paris Pavilion at Epcot, I will.
"Mortal by Hades." And I just, it's really kind of, like I said, almost like an 80s neon sign-esque type patch, which I think is fun.
Or 90s.
90s, sure, since that's when it would have come out. But I just had fun with color with this one.
Yeah.
And I think it came out really good. It looks like I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And people, which is always fun.
We've sold way more than we normally do before a podcast goes out.
Right? I made it a point. I'm trying to be better about putting the patch up on the first.
Yeah.
And I'm not perfect at it, but I try to get it up as close to the first as possible, because if you're part of our patch club, I've already sent it to you. So you don't need to like see it on the website and be like, "Oh, I wish right. I had mine." By that point, it should be on its way, if not already arrived to you.
And sometimes you need the podcast to explain.
Sometimes you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you get an obscure movie like Hercules, who knows if you got if it or not. but I have talked to enough
Honey,
people.
Honey, why did the Skull and Bull show up again?
What is this?
You said this was a Disney patch, right?
I've gotten that criticism before, apparently, that people don't quite get that it's a Disney patch. So if you don't get it, hopefully you're listening to the podcast so that we can tell you where it comes from.
Yeah, and we will normally post a video clip too on the website. If you go to the patch itself, right. you can play a video clip that references the exact moment typically too.
Hopefully, yeah, if yeah. I can get it, yeah. But yeah, people seem to be excited about Mortal. Again, I think it's our generation looking
Mortal
at it going, I love
by Hades.
That. By Hades. So if you're not part of our patch club or you haven't already bought it, by all means, go to DisneyPatch.com, look into it. Because I think it's awesome. I think it is a good size too. It'll fit a lot of cool places.
Yeah. If you're trying to fill in a spot between all the patches,
right.
this will fit in perfectly.
Sometimes our patches are real big. And I like those a lot, but then sometimes, I mean, even I like trying to get the patches all to fit on something. Now that we have so many, it's not possible, but when you're trying to get a lot of patches to fit on something, it's nice to have some thinner ones.
That look, folks, fit. I'm going to say that I have a few work shirts that I'm trying to cover both logos with that I just put the patches over the top of. It works perfect. Pretty
hate
good.
Your old job. Cover up the logo with a patch.
Take that, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh no, there goes that sponsor.
I know.
But it's like I always say, indoor plumbing, it's gonna be big.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.